live edition of the Face of Pro-Life. Today we're going to be talking about the March for Life 2010 with a young man, David Smith, who went down to the March for Life on one of the buses, and Friar Roderick Burke, who has been on here before, and he also videotaped many aspects of the march for AirMaria.com, their video log. Thank you so much, gentlemen, for joining me today.
It's good to be here, Corinne.
So, what were your impressions on the 2010 March for Life?
Well, it's always a great event. It's it's huge, and it was a lot of great people, and these random people we met, so many people we haven't seen in so long, it's really a great shot in the arm to see so many upbeat people, and really so many young faces, and so many. All in one spot. It was over 300,000 people were there, and it looked like it was. It was just a huge, never-ending crowd of people as far as I can see in the mall.
Now, David, you've been down to the March for Life before.
No, this was actually my
first
time.
This was your first time?
Yeah, it was.
So what was your impression going down for the first time?
I thought it was really great because there are just so many people, and there are a lot of young people, too. It was really great to see my generation actually doing something.
Oh, yeah.
Especially for such a great cause, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think there were even more universities there this year, some of them that I hadn't seen before that were just totally represented, even secular universities, not just Catholic universities. Oh. It was great to see. So tell me a little bit about the experience, like your bus ride and the whole event.
Well, the bus ride wasn't, it was really long, but you know, it was really worth it, you know. I didn't really get to hear too many speakers, but just the whole size, and they were really, really intense about the whole thing too. You know, the people were really definitely happy to be there. They seemed really, really happy to, you know,
to represent.
Right, exactly. Sorry. Yeah, you know, really important to them. So I'm really hoping that maybe abortion can go in my lifetime. It seems like all the trends are going that way. So.
You would think. I mean, there really were a lot more people there this year than in the past. So now you've never been before, but you've heard so many things from other people that have been there. Anything strike you that surprised you, or had you heard it all before?
Well, I didn't know it was going to be that big, and all my friends were telling me that I really had to go. So, yeah, I went, and I'm really, really glad I did.
Now, did you go to the cathedral or the basilica?
Yeah, we did, and it was great. I mean, so many people there for
standing room only.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
We went down. We drove down, so we were there Thursday night, and we were going to go to the vigil mass, but we just didn't get there in time enough to make it.
And maybe at 4 o'clock or something after 7 p.m. mass.
Yeah.
DSC.
Yeah, so people could not even get a seat, and they were like there 3 or 4 hours before the mass. And I saw pictures of that, and it was just like the mass the morning, you know. So they right. filled the cathedral the night before. They filled it to capacity the day of. And then the whole Verizon Center
right,
was packed.
The whole Verizon Center, right, which is many times larger than the Basilica.
Oh, I saw pictures of that. That was just phenomenal. Right. I could not believe it. And I understand that the Verizon Center was completely sold out, and they had 6 other venues. To view the mass from, and just all the clergy. I mean, you can see how many clergy were at the Basilica,
right?
And there were that many more at Verizon Center.
Wow!
It was just amazing the energy that was packed in Washington D.C. this year. I think more so than ever before.
Yeah, I think it was a record crowd. I never seen it that big before. It's just went on for so long. You know, we got to the final destination, which is the Supreme Court building, and people kept coming and coming. Even at sunset, there was still an ocean of people going by. So it definitely lasted longer.
I know. I mean, usually we try to stay on the outskirts so we can, you know, get a better view of everything. Right. You couldn't. You could not to the end. I mean, you could never. I could never see the end of the people. It just kept going on and on and on. And I know we saw the helicopters circling. And I know they videotaped it. I would just love to have seen just one shot in the newspaper or on TV of the crowd, you know?
Yeah, it's one of the biggest things that's always talked about during elections on the pro-life issue, and they, it's even, the accusations of being, terrorists and stuff. Well, you know, if that's really the case, and you know, 300,000 terrorists converge in Washington, D.C., you think they at least have a camera to point at us, you know? So I guess we're not that dangerous after all.
It was scary because when I got home, I immediately went online just to see if I could find any coverage of it. Yeah. There was nothing on CNN, nothing on Fox News. I could not find a blip. You know, even the day usually has, like, you know, one of those little, you know, things from the Nation, but they hit nothing on the March for Life this year.
Yeah, you'd think that they'd cover it because, you know, just 300,000 people all for one cause. You'd think that it would be huge on the news, you know.
Right. Now, did either of you ever make it to any of your representatives or senators' offices?
No, but it would be pretty useless for me to go to Joe Courtney anyway. I mean, he's not really pro-life.
I was thinking about that, you know, and this year especially, I went with a group from kids from Connecticut, and we went to Joe Lieberman's office and left a packet of letters from the students. And then we went over to Ted Kennedy's office, which is now Bishop Kirk's office, which is soon to be Senator Scott Brown's office. And we left, you know, a little note to him. And there were a lot of people from Massachusetts pouring into that office, let me tell you. But if every person in that March for Life had gone to a representative's office, it would have stalled Washington completely.
Right.
It would have just made so much more impact because, like you say, the media didn't cover it.
Right.
And you know, Scott Brown wasn't at the thing, and you know that Charles Schumer and you know Lieberman, none of these guys are at the rally. But if every person filed into at least one of their representatives or senator's office, those offices would have been bulging. Yeah. I mean, they would have shut them down.
Oh, yeah, it would have been, you couldn't get much done with all that crowd inside there. So, but I myself did not go onto my representative because I was busy with doing a live broadcast with my fellow friars. So we're doing, we had a little computer there with a cellular phone, and we're doing a Ustream live broadcast.
Wow. So how did that go?
Well, it went pretty good, except for it lasted during the rally for about an hour. And then we had technical difficulties, and it didn't work too well. So.
I think the rally went a little bit too long this year. The crowd's getting younger and younger and younger, and I think people have less attention span for all of that. You know, everybody's just anxious to get going, and it. I'm glad to see so many representatives that you know want to voice their opinion and rally people on, but it just get 2 hours. It was 2 hours long that the rally went on.
2 hours, the rally. Yeah, I think it was that long, and.
It was because the march didn't really start until we didn't get moving until 2:30,
okay.
And the rally starts at 12. So, I know it took us about a half hour to get the march, at our point, moving.
Right.
And the other thing about this year that I noticed is that usually once you start marching, there's a little bit of space.
Okay.
You know, like there's some lag.
Right.
Was there space?
No, but it was almost impossible to walk. I could barely move for a while. I could bump into people. It was just so crowded. Yeah.
We didn't. We sort of ran ahead to the front of it. We were at the rally doing interviews, and we were interviewing. It was amazing because almost every major pro-life leader was there at the behind the stage there.
Wow!
So we were there interviewing, and they were really coming to us as fast as we could. Go. So there we really had back-to-back interviews going live with some of the best pro-life leaders. But once the route that was all done, we ran to the front of the march in order to get a good shot of the whole crowd coming.
Sure.
And so we kind of missed how packed it was in the ranks there.
But
it was an ocean. It was an ocean of people moving along. We had some shots. I wish we had those ready right now. We were actually hoping to have some clips available for the live show today. But what it was a whole ocean of people. As far as I can see, you had people in the foreground, you had people in the middle ground, and then in the background, as far as you can see, and filling right up to the top of the screen, was just people upon people. And that was just one shot. later on, a whole another group came, and then a whole another group came, and a whole another group came. So just ocean after ocean of people coming past us.
I have to say, I believe that this was the most well-attended march ever.
Right.
So what do you suppose, you know, propelled people to come this year? Why this year?
Well, I think Obama's presidency is making it, you know, more people realize about how the importance of being pro-life, and the health care with, you know, the Senate bill doesn't really have too much of a strong anti-abortion in it. And I suppose lots of people are thinking, you know, I'd better go out there so they notice me and know how important it is to me.
Yeah. I think too, we've noticed a trend over the last, you know, several years that the crowd's getting younger and younger, and that's such a great sign of hope. But as you mentioned, the health care, I think some of the older people now are realizing that, you know, pro-life is not just about the unborn. Mm-hmm. And I think I met more seniors this year that were there for the very first time than I've ever, you know, usually you see several seniors there, but they're there, they've been going since, you know, 1974, and, you know, they're going to go until they can't walk anymore and maybe beyond. But there were so many older people that I saw there that they were there for the very first time,
right.
Not just the young people. So I think really, like you, I think you nailed it. I think this whole administration, you know, between their pro-death, the whole pro-death agenda has really spurred people, woke people up.
Could be. I saw looking at some figures on the web before coming that, I guess it's a Newsweek article that says that President Obama was perhaps the most divisive president so far. And they based that figure on poll numbers of approval ratings between people who are Democrat and Republican. Apparently, it's the spread is like 63%. Mm-hmm. That is, Democrats are favoring Obama by 88%, whereas the Republicans favor him by only like 23%. So it's like a 65%.
Yeah, I think there was 65 disparity. Whereas during Bush's administration, it was 45% disparity.
In other words, he's really a very one-sided president that's really gotten, you can see how angry people are in all those town hall meetings.
Right. Well, you can see how angry people are when they can vote for a Republican in Massachusetts.
Massachusetts.
You know?
And who voted for on that?
I got to vote for that.
Corinne is our one representative from Massachusetts.
Is everyone calls like, did you register to vote? Are you kidding? I registered to vote December 1st, so I make sure I get in there.
Great.
But you're right, he made the claim that he was going to bring the nation together, but, you know, not just his administration. Not just his administration, but this Congress is really doing everything they can to shut out opposition. You know, they're doing all of their collaborations and negotiations for their bills without any Republican representation, or if they are, they'll throw in a token, you know, Olympia Snow or somebody, you know, who's barely a Republican.
It's really unfortunate, right? I mean, it's we should have a broad-minded view that's at least has, you know, looking at fair, just being fair and being given equal access for people, and to have the mass media not be present at such a big event. It's one of the biggest telltale signs that's perhaps the case that there is a real strong bias against the mass media
against us,
which is terrible for a democracy.
I know.
How is democracy going to work when the very organ that's supposed to deliver the news and the events and everything else and form our opinions is being so skewed.
Yeah. Distorted completely.
But, yeah, I mean, I just don't know how eventually that kind of thing is going to catch up to us and really do a number on our democracy and our freedom.
Well, you know, I mean, it just goes to show you that, you know, if you want to know what's going on at the March for Life, you have to go yourself.
Right.
So
right.
Every person who didn't go this year needs to go next year.
It's another very good reason to go to it. I mean, there's so many good reasons to go. But I mean, just to get the real scoop is real, and both as far as numbers, as far as the fact that it is really a pro-life event, not a pro-abort event. In other words, the mass media is sort of portraying it.
Oh, I know.
It's all a CNN clip that has said basically, look, here we have a clip of the march, and but numbers of signs, you can't tell whether it's pro-life or pro-death, and you had like six of the only pro-abort protesters there in front of the Supreme Court, which is the only place I ever saw during the whole march.
Yeah. You know, that's one thing you did see a handful.
As an American, it was embarrassing, actually. I have our best mass media be so dumb. I mean, it's just embarrassing. I mean, it's an American tragedy.
It really is. I mean, I can't imagine, you know, any other organization gathering that many people on the mall and the media to completely shutting it out, not even covering it. It's just mind-boggling. But you did say that there were a few pro-aborts at the Supreme Court, and it was interesting because they were pretty much surrounded en masse by pro-life people. And an interesting one, I took a picture of a woman who was standing there, and she was with her pro-choice poster, and a woman was kneeling in front of her praying for her.
Right, right.
That was very, very interesting. So, I mean, they were brave to...
It was a young person praying for her.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's great.
So we actually have another guest who is at the March for Life, and she's a regular on the show. Eileen, how are you doing?
I'm doing really fine. How are you?
And you might remember she's with the Gospel of Life Society in Norwalk. Other side. And I ended up running into Eileen.
Yep.
It was so funny because before we went to the March for Life, we were talking on the show about how you see thousands and thousands of people there, and the fact that you run into somebody that you know is just miraculous. It's miraculous.
Hundreds of thousands of people were there.
Yeah.
And I ran into you. I ran into Letitia because she was near you.
Right.
I saw Friar Roderick even before we got to the march.
And Judy Muscola, Dr. Judy Muscola.
Oh, I didn't meet her.
Our pro-life doctor in Hartford, West Hartford.
Oh, I didn't get to meet her.
Yeah.
She was probably right with you, too.
And the doctor from New York bumped into us, too, the one who just started the Gianna Center in New York.
Really?
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
So it was phenomenal. We kept meeting each other. Yes, named after that.
Be blessed now, right?
But I agree with everything that you all were saying, that it's a shame that the march has become identified with abortion rather than life.
You know, that's one thing. I understand historically the March for Life was very somber, and that when Nellie Gray started it, you know, people would just walk very silently up Constitution Avenue and either pray or you know, just, you know, sing maybe, but you can't. It's just, everybody's so full of life with the youth there. I mean, everyone is just, you can't help be happy, even though you know you're commemorating a horrible event in our nation's history. There's just so many people there, and everybody is like so full of life.
It's a very positive event.
It really is, and I've taken my children so many times, and I'm just so glad, you know, to have all those role models there for my kids, you know, to see, they feel like they're part of something huge.
It was wonderful.
But it's, I just want to say, it's interesting that, you know, that they are trying to portray as being a pro-life, a pro-death event, a pro-choice event. And, of course, it is marking that event where there was a pro-choice decision by the Supreme Court. And you would think that the pro-choicers would come out in numbers to its because it's just as much their day as it is our day to protest. But the fact is that they aren't protesting at all. It's a handful of people out there that literally I saw six people in one group, and that's the only place I ever saw any pro-abort people, and the rest, hundreds of thousands of people that I've never seen before, all pouring past, and many,
amazing. Was there anything different about this year's event than you've seen in the past?
I think it seemed more orderly. It seemed more peaceful. And the joy of the spirit, people who are for life generally have a strong spirit. And even though they're protesting something very negative, the joy really, people were aglow.
They were.
Even I saw an old woman, I saw one woman, it was cold that day, it was a nice day, but it was cold, with an older woman, probably in her 80s, and her feet were just about blue, and her lips were blue, but she had a big smile on her face, and she was just so absolutely happy to be there. The kids were happy. You saw people who were in wheelchairs, walking with canes.
Yeah. Strollers.
They were doing their God's work, and it was really clear.
Speaking of God, the night before I couldn't sleep, and I put on the weather station, and I was watching what the weather was going to be like the next day. 100% chance of rain. Now, when do they ever say 100%? They always hedge it, you know, maybe 70% is the most I've ever seen. 100% chance of rain. Did it rain that day?
No rain.
It was in the morning, but
sunny.
It was amazing.
It was beautiful.
It was
even warm. We were able to. I had two pairs of pants on, two pairs of gloves. I had three shirts on. Everybody was peeling their clothes, you know, because it was such and we all said the same thing.
Damn,
look
God
at this.
God has such a great sense of humor. 100%. I've never, ever seen 100%. Yeah. And at 1:30 in the morning, I'm watching, it said 100% chance of rain. And it had like the whole day, you know, 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock. And then we were supposed to drive back that night, and it kept saying, you know, wintry mix. And so we were really very concerned, you know, that we were going to be driving through sleet and bad traffic. Not a drop.
Right.
I thought what's also interesting is usually when you do something like this, people are very interested in talking to the legislators. And the attitude that I had and a lot of people had was forget the legislators, they're not listening anyway. We're just doing our thing. This is what we have to do. And maybe we'll get their attention through the news media, but maybe we won't. It's time to stop worrying about them.
Yeah.
And we do have to communicate with them. We do have to educate them. But there's a time and a place, and apparently they decided this is not the time, this is not the place, so why should we keep knocking our heads against the wall? I think it was, we're just going to do our thing, right? Yeah, and I think there were more people this year than last year. Last year there were about 350,000. I think there were more this
easily.
Year.
Easily more this year.
Yeah,
I've seen, everyone seems to agree it's more people than last year, which is already a record year, and then it was a... ranging from 300,000 to 400,000 was the estimate.
Yeah. So we were trying to shoot for over. All the messages that we sent out and the other lobbyists in Connecticut was, let's try to get it over 500,000, because hopefully, if you can get it over 500,000 or 700,000 people there, the foreign media will pick it up.
You know what? The only media that I saw on YouTube or anywhere, you know, online, was the Russian media, and they did pick it up.
Wow.
Isn't that great? And they covered it very well. And it was pretty sad.
I hope they shame the American.
I know.
I mean, it's embarrassing to have a media that's so dumb. I mean, I can't put it any other way, but are so biased. I mean, here we are supposed to be in America, and Russia has always been kind of pro-abort.
I know.
With the communism, it certainly the numbers show they're very pro-abort as far as the number of abortions. But yet the former communist country, has a mass media that's more open to this than supposedly free world press.
Yeah. Well, I think people in the United States might just take their freedom of speech, freedom of expression, for granted, you know, whereas the, you know, people from the Soviet Union, you know, former Soviet Union, are probably amazed at something like this, you know, and when they have rallies, you know, over in Europe, they can draw 100 or 500,000 people. I mean, this was something big, you know, and for our media to not cover it is really, it's scandalous.
It is.
It's really scandalous.
The other thing that was scandalous was the lack of legislators talking to us, the speakers. It was very poor this year, I thought, and something needs to be changed. It was very hard to hear.
How many congressmen were at the were speaking at the rally?
I have no idea. I couldn't hear them and I couldn't see them.
And it was too long. It was 2 hours long, and I think that we keep saying the crowd's getting younger and younger and younger, and we just don't have the attention span, you know.
Right,
and
the YouTube generation, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I had an 11-year-old and a 13-year-old, and I was like, okay, this is the march for life, not the talk for life.
The talk for all lifelong.
But there were a couple that I did manage to hear were pretty good, uh-huh. you know, as they have been in previous years. We probably need to improve the technology, like Pope Benedict keeps telling us, learn to use the technology.
As far
so
as
we
what,
have to do that.
More speakers dispersed.
And the sound
air.
System was yeah. atrocious.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even we weren't that far and we couldn't hear anything.
Okay. Yeah. yeah. I saw the speaker. There weren't that many speakers on the stage. And then, of course, I didn't see any speakers, towers elsewhere.
Yeah.
Which you would need. You'd have to have speaker towers throughout the area mm-hmm. to cover it.
And we need some of deliver. Our pro-life legislators to get more courage. You know, the devil is really, I think, a lack backbone, no courage. And his people who follow him, the dupes and everybody else in the United States and the rest of the world, also are like that. We need, what didn't show up in that march, which I would have hoped would have, is that we have many more pro-life legislators than one realizes.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them are quiet about it. It's like it's yeah. silent because they don't want to put their careers in jeopardy.
Well, it's weird.
And even the ones who speak out, they're not that loud about it.
How can you lose out on this one? First of all, there's no American media there. So no
yeah.
one know if you showed up there or not.
Yeah.
And two, there's 400,000 votes in front of you
yeah.
ready to grab if you came out.
Yeah.
But, you know.
All
yeah.
gain, no loss. But
yeah.
No one showed. So.
Now, here in Connecticut, we're doing good. With the Gospel of Life, I've had a number of speakers come. We're having... Senator Michael McLaughlin speak to us in February 13th. Mm. And in March, we're having a new candidate who's running for Congress 4th District, Rob Merkel, come and speak
oh,
to us.
Great.
And in December, we had Sam Calagiri speak to us.
Wow.
And what we're doing, you know, we're breaking all the rules. We're asking them, we're saying, listen, it's hard to get before the legislators what our needs are as
right.
pro-life people. So
yeah.
come into our meetings.
Yeah.
You can do some talking, but we're mostly going to let you
right.
know what we need.
Well, you know, there's two pro-life people running run against Joe Courtney in the 2nd District as well. I mean, that would just be amazing if we could get a pro-life representative out of Connecticut.
Nice. Well, it did in Massachusetts, so. If they can do it there, they can do it anywhere.
That was wonderful. That would have been nice to have a couple of those guys speak, as Brownback did once when he was talking about
awesome.
The baby feels pain
yeah.
at 18 weeks, and he blew the whistle on that. Not only
yeah.
is it a baby, folks, but it does feel pain.
Right, right, right.
So you did get to interview some pretty big names behind the stages. Could you elaborate on some of the people that you talked to?
Yeah, well, first of all, I went down the day before to the American Life League event, which is also another big event. So there's a whole bunch of other events that happen besides
yeah.
just the march. It's so the whole week basically is a pro-life week in Washington, D.C. The whole Washington, D.C. Actually turns pro-life for a whole week, basically. And there's this very big event, the hotels, and of course afterwards is a rose dinner. And so it's really almost a pro-life gala week there. So American Life League had an event, so did HLI, so did Americans United for Life, I believe, and just about any group of the several that were there. So we interviewed people there, including the head of, I think the executive director of American Life League, which was Sean Kenny, and also interviewed Avita King.
Dr.
Wow.
King.
Oh,
she's terrific.
Right. She's the niece of Martin Luther King.
Yeah.
And of course, a lot of people are making the connection between the race issue and the abortion issue.
Sure.
That, especially given what happened in Nazi Germany with the Holocaust, which is all based on race and based on not recognizing the humanity of
right.
Of Jews and the humanity of those who are crippled and handicapped mentally. So that basically Hitler gassed all these people even before in the hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole medical establishment was involved in that. So here we are with abortion that's as the again, the defenseless are being terminated on the basis that they're not human by the medical establishment. So it's very similar. And to have Martin Luther King's niece be so pro-life,
yeah,
and really being a wonderful light to the nation. She's really quite a very warm person. Very.
And I don't think a lot of people understand this, but they had a really good speaker last year who elaborated that, you know, the number one killer of African Americans in the United States is abortion.
By far.
By far. Many, I mean, it outnumbers AIDS and cancer and heart disease. Yeah. All of the causes of death are totally, you know, because almost one in every two babies, African American babies, are being aborted.
Right.
And so she's a very good advocate, and there's some other very good African American advocates that just don't seem to be getting their message, you know, to the core of the African American community, because, you know, they continue to abort their babies at an alarming rate.
Right.
It's a shame. I think it's very hard to believe that an entire race of people would be targeted. That's a hard one to.
Well, that's what Margaret Sanger started. I mean, her whole mission was to infiltrate the African American community through their churches. And she convinced the pastors to tell their flocks that birth control and abortion was really good for them, because they're never going to be able to get out of their economic mess with, you know, burdened with children. So that message was delivered to them from a racist, you know, she was a eugenist, you know.
Right.
She wanted to get rid of, you know, the unwanted. And she used their pastors to deliver that message to them, and they bought it hook, line, and sinker.
Right, anyone associated with poverty was her target.
Right.
But it did take on some racial tones there with the fact that there are some races that are not enjoying as much wealth as other ones. And so it was very much to get rid of all those who are burdened in society. And it was very Hitlerian, and really there's a lot of correspondence between Margaret Sanger and the Nazi Party.
Right,
even absolutely,
And, so she was quite an inspiration for the Nazis, believe it or not. So,
One of the things she did quite deliberately was she put the abortion clinics in the poor neighborhoods where there were primarily black people. And then with the education in the school and through the churches, telling them, it's okay, it's okay.
Yeah.
And playing to their needs. You've got a race of people that had been abused and damaged by us. They're trying to pull themselves together and have the good American life. And they're being told, as you said, oh, to do this, just don't have a lot of babies. And if you have to accidentally have some babies that you can't afford, you can just go ahead and abort them. But, you know, after years and years of this, they began to realize that the black people started to get smart. And then what happened, as they began to wise up and saying, hey, wait a minute, this doesn't right. This is not right. It doesn't feel right. It's not right. And began to pull back and stopped having abortions. And the white people started having more abortions. Mm. Then at that point in time, they said, oh, we got to push contraceptives. Mm. And onto the white people, they pushed massively the contraceptives, and the white people bought it, and the black people bought it. Now everybody's contracepting.
Yeah.
And the statistics are atrocious. Over 52 million babies since Roe versus Wade.
Yeah.
And that's the ones that we know of that were killed through physical abortions or chemical abortions.
Yeah.
The pill is birth control pill is an abortifacient. So there are many babies that were killed through that, maybe as many that we're not aware of.
Yeah. Wow. So what did Evita King have to say?
Well, it was kind of a short interview. She had to move on straight away. But it was, she just promoted the pro-life, and that it's a, and some statistics about how many black babies are aborted, and and how the message needs to be connected to the
and how her uncle would have like totally been on our side.
Right, she makes that point that Martin Luther King was very, very much pro-life.
Right. You know, so. Well, and you know, many of his followers were pro-life, like Jesse Jackson. I mean, he was pro-life originally, and when it just didn't become politically expedient for him, he switched sides, like many of our politicians, including John Kerry and you know, a lot of our politicians.
It's amazing. I was just reading something last night. I was amazed to find out that before the 1960s, most of the Democrats were pro-life. And guess what?
Right.
Most of the Catholics were Democrats.
Well, as Benedict Rochelle said, I didn't lead the Democratic Party; they left me. And it's strange that the party that was so famous for upholding the rights and the underclass and the underdog has ended up leaving the unborn high and dry.
Right.
And they attribute a lot of the switch to the feminist movement, that those who are promoting death through abortion, there's other ways to kill societies, but this was promoting death through abortion, appeal to the feminists. Now, here's another group of people in America trying to raise up so they were susceptible, the NOW and the other feminist organizations. And they were susceptible, and they bought the line. That is that you have choice. It's your choice, and they bought the line that their choice was more important than the life of a baby.
Right.
And that's interesting. Now, what's going on is that you have, there was this article saying that claiming that the participants at the march were Newsweek of all things, that they were on a blog that the number of participants were starting to become predominantly over 60, you know, and this is like laughable for us who've been there because it's like,
gosh,
overrun by young people.
I feel like a senior citizen.
I mean, it's unbelievable. The youth and the vibrancy of this group is unbelievable. And they said, oh, it's shortened because they're getting so old they can't do it anymore. Well, not on the pro life side. And that's the thing, the pro lifers are having kids, you know. I mean, if you know, let's face it, even if you don't believe in evolution, abortion is an evolutionary mistake.
Yeah.
You know, okay, you survived, but you haven't reproduced, and therefore you might as well, you know, when you pass on, that's it. There's no more to say.
Right.
So here, the future, of course, is going to grow. I mean, pro-lifers have babies, and they have kids, and gets bigger and bigger, and hey, that's the future.
Yeah.
We like it or not.
That's right.
And the politicians need to know that. You know, they have to get that to their head.
Yeah.
Haven't quite. Once they do, I think it's going to happen all at once. You're going to say, huh.
It's politically better for me to be pro-life now.
I would love it if we could come up with a way to work with the women who have been duped.
Right.
And convert that.
Yeah.
That would be, they've been used, unfortunately.
Right.
And to turn that around and help them realize.
They must be afraid. They must be, the mass media must, and the whole pro-abortion industry must be really afraid of the whole thing if they don't have any coverage at all of the event.
We'd like to open the phone lines. We have about 15, 20 minutes left, and we'd like to ask you to call in with your questions or comments. Our phone number is 546-3000. Please call us now, 546-3000. 456-3000. What did I say? Sorry. So it's 456-3000.
What's the area code? 860?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, you mentioned a couple of things that, you know, pro-life people have, more babies, and pro-life, you know, people teach their babies to be pro-life. It struck me at one point we were at a pro-life event, and it was at a college, and it was their pro-life group, and I was talking to some of the kids there, and I asked them, you know, so, you know, you've always been pro-life. She goes, oh no, my mom is adamantly pro-choice. So it's not just the pro-life parents who are having pro-life kids. We have a phone call from Mike in Lebanon. Hello, Mike.
I just had one thing. Was kind of a comment.
We can't hear Mike.
Yes, I said I had one thing was a kind of a comment.
We still can't
question.
Hear Mike.
It's not coming through?
Not coming through, Mike.
No, you're not.
Can
you? I'd love to hear you, though. What's wrong?
Yeah, phone two. Mm-hmm.
We can hear you speaking, sort of, but we don't hear your question or comment.
You're working on it, Mike. I love it when we get people from other countries. Connecticut for Women, we get people from all over the world.
Oh, right, yeah. Right.
So is it a TV show?
No, it's my website for teens.
Oh, great.
Yeah, Ave Maria Air Maria gets a lot of foreigners, too, I see.
Right.
It's great.
Yeah, I love coming on in the morning, because in the morning there's our map only shows the last 100 views. So, and the you can see how many are coming in from overseas that are you know, that's when they're awake.
Right.
Overseas is when they you know, when the sun's shining over there, it's during when it's night here. So.
And they log on and comment.
You see how many like I guess one from Dubai and from from Russia and a couple from China and so on.
Can we hear Mike now? Still not coming through? Okay.
One second. We get the signal. 1 second.
Hello?
Hello.
Oh, we got it.
Obviously, you're not Mike.
This is Kathleen from Coventry.
Oh, hi, Kathleen. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Did you have a question or comment?
I have a comment. Two of my older brothers, one is 15 and one is 20. They said that they saw a lot of young people there at the Walk for Life.
So they went to the March for Life, and they commented the same thing. We saw a lot of young people too.
Yeah.
Did they have a good time?
I think so.
Are you going to go next year?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Thanks for calling in.
Okay. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah, it's amazing how many young people are populating this. So it's really hopeful, really, really hopeful.
And they understood, the ones that were there. They seemed to understand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. It's a pretty clear-cut case of standing up for the least among us. And that's always something that hits resonance with young people, I think.
Yeah. I mean, they understand the injustice. They
right.
really do.
Right.
They can see everything, you know, at their age, they can see everything in black and white.
Right.
You know, they haven't gotten all the garbage, you know, thrown at them yet, if you can protect them from, you know, Planned Parenthood.
Right.
But, yeah, they really do. I know my kids had a hard time understanding, you know, and a lot of people don't want their kids to know about abortion.
Right.
But, you know, I've always told my kids, you know, what abortion is and that we need to stand up against it. And I think it's important, you know, because some even pro-life parents don't want their kids to know what an abortion is because it's so atrocious.
Right.
Well, if it's so atrocious, we need to get rid of it, you
right.
know, I mean, because it is. It's,
unite
it's
against
horrible.
That. We have to unite against that. There are many groups that are forming against abortion, and they are... it's nice to see that you're all working together at the march.
Yes.
You see all the groups show up, and you do see them working together, especially the major ones like HLI and
American Life League.
And, and several others. And it's really very encouraging. I saw a lot of people working in the streets as far as doing like Birthright
sure.
and other groups that I saw there that I interviewed. And they're all doing, you know, trying to help pregnant mothers
right.
Who are, you know, in dire straits. And it's amazing what those groups are doing. They're getting no support.
No, from the public support.
From the president
right.
who said that he's a pro-choice but wants to reduce the number of abortions. Well, there's no better way to do that and no better way to be truly pro-choice than to give women the choice
right.
of life.
Right.
And by supporting the very minimal needs, they need to do that through birth centers that help give them the very basics they need.
Right.
This is just...
to make the choice.
Right. It's all being done by very, you know, lowly funded volunteers scraping together money they really don't have. And if they can do that, then the federal government can certainly do that and to see almost no funding for that.
Right.
Is really
Scandalous.
A tragedy, right?
One of the things we do with the Gospel of Life is we try to support the pregnancy centers, and it has occurred to me, there's got to be some grants for them.
Right.
Enough is enough. I visited them, and these ladies give up their whole lives to help women who are pregnant to realize that there's other choices. And when you visit them, you see that they have baby clothes for these women, carriages, playpens, and all kinds of equipment and things in their attics, in their garages. Not only do they give up their lives, but so do their families.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And they need some support. They're all very poor.
Yeah.
I think we're going to try to get Mike on the line again.
Michael.
Hi, Micah.
It's John Hall.
Hello. I'm back.
Oh, good.
Thanks for calling back.
I just had a comment before. You'd said you hadn't seen anything on television about the march.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I have to agree with you. Didn't see much on it. But, however, I would have to give Fox News credit. They at least had on two shows about, they had the same film show twice with a different introduction from the same reporter.
Oh, okay, good.
It lasted about maybe 45 seconds on each show.
Oh, I didn't see it.
I know.
Well, that was the coverage.
Did it show a large crowd shot or just a close-up?
It showed both.
Yeah?
They had kind of an in-and-out type of thing.
Did it look impressive?
Yeah, it really did. They had people marching by and different sections of it. They were going from people standing on the sidewalk to the marching to people carrying a sign and all that stuff.
Well, that makes me feel so much better because I did look on Fox News website and they didn't keep the clip on their website apparently, but apparently they did have it in their live coverage. Thank you.
Yeah, I think
there was another thing. We went to that thing in Hartford on Friday.
Oh, good.
Oh, good.
And they had people up there filming from some, I don't know what station it was, but they were filming it for it. The girl kept doing different introductions for this one, for that one, for the other one. And somebody asked her if they were going to have it on TV that night, and she said, no, they were going to have it on Saturday because they had film coming back from Washington. They were going to put the two of them together.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know if it ever got on the air or what it was, but.
Oh, we'll try to look on their website, too.
I can tell you all a good place to look, YouTube.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's good.
It is incredible how many cities are also taking up the whole March for Life cause. Because you have Hartford, New Haven, just in Connecticut, that have a major March for Life event going on.
Yeah, and almost all the capitals in the country.
Really?
And then San Francisco has that big March for Life on the Saturday after the Washington March for Life.
Right.
A couple of things that you had mentioned, and I think we all are in agreement that the one thing that's really going to turn this whole thing around are the women who have been victimized by the lie of abortion. And I don't know if people know this, but at the end of the March for Life, usually at the very beginning, who leads it off is a group called Silent No More.
Sure.
And Silent No More is an organization for men and women who have experienced abortions and regret it. And at the end of March for Life, at the steps of the Supreme Court building, women and men after women, they just keep pouring in and just tell their horrible stories about how they were victimized by abortion.
Right.
You know, that they bought the lie that it was going to be an easy fix for an unplanned pregnancy, and they really
and a lot of pressure from everyone around who say that this is going to be the way to alleviate your problem.
Yeah, it's really heartbreaking to hear that. But I think these are the people that can convince. If anybody can convince the country, it's these people.
Well, it's interesting that the caller.
Oh,
we have another phone call from Carol in Coventry. Hello, Carol.
Hi there. I'm calling because I was in Hartford on Friday.
Oh, great.
And it was really kind of wonderful to see. Well, for one thing, there was such an incredible amount of young men who were there.
Excellent.
And they were, they were all full with life and letting everybody know on the side of the road that they should be supporting this give themselves another chance to really think about what abortion is and what pro-life really means. And there was about 300 people that
were
there
in Hartford.
Excellent.
And when they came into the Capitol and had their conference up on the top floor. It was great. They had three speakers. One was a gentleman named Fred, and he spoke for fathers who regretted lost fatherhood. And he spoke about Rachel's Vineyard for fathers, but he also spoke about Rachel's Vineyard for his particular mission, which was Spanish fathers.
Oh, wow.
On Hispanic community.
Wonderful.
And then there was a young lady who spoke for Silent No More and gave her witness about what had occurred in her background and what led her to have her abortion. And then I was listening to another woman speak, and for the life of me, I could not figure out why she was speaking. She kept talking about her father and kept talking about her father. And it was such a wonderful, discussion about her dad. And then it suddenly dawned on me that, oh, my goodness, she was talking about end-of-life issues, too.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
And euthanasia.
Good.
Very appropriate nowadays, especially.
It was a wonderful awakening to, I think, a lot of people. There was a gentleman who came. He was, I guess, the gentleman who does Focus on the Family, I think, is that who
Peter
was the group?
Peter Wolfgang, possibly.
Yeah, he asked any politicians who wanted to come. One gentleman came, and his name was, I think, Vincent Forrest. It's Forras, and I think he's trying to go for the same Senate seat, or the one that Blumenthal is going for.
Oh, wow.
And he said, again, for himself, that, he'd be there to support views like ours. And to just, he was the only one that answered.
Wow.
God bless him.
Well, that tells you what political life is like in Connecticut.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was wonderful. I sat there, and there were... a whole corner full of not only just the young men who were there, but there was a considerable amount of young men who were there who were priests.
Oh, excellent.
And
oh, good.
I was like, young men who are priests, and I was like, oh, my goodness, you exist.
There's hope. Thank you so much for sharing that with us, because I hadn't heard anything about the Connecticut March for Life, and I'm glad that there was a good turnout for that. Thank you for joining us. And okay. Hope to see you again at the March for Life next year.
Yeah.
We hope to see you at the March for Life next year. And there's really no excuse. There's buses that go down. It's really a simple train ride. It's really an excellent time. It's really something worthwhile doing. And I think we're going to end the show with a little clip from the March for Life.
Wonderful.
Thanks for joining us. We hope when you look in the mirror next time, you realize yours too is the face of pro-life. Join us again next time.
Dear mommy, I know you hear me, I know you feel me in your belly. It's where I'm dwelling, I'm here laying. I feel your tears and I hear you praying. You're amazing and it's showing, your tummy's raising. You feel me growing, my heart is racing. You feel it pulsing, I see your insides, your soul is glowing. With your loving and it's pouring out your soul, and I feel I'm soaring. Out of control on a crash course, and your family wants you to have an abortion. To have an abortion, that's out of the question. Forget about it, we don't need those cousins. They hate on you cause you don't have a husband. I'm your family now and that should mean something.
I'm here, I'm living, loving you. Just breathe.
So now we've made it to our third trimester.
Third trimester.
You didn't think I'd make it through this high pressure.
High pressure.
They put on us, they're rude to us with bi gestures.
Bi gestures.
This dude is nuts, he's leaving us to find pleasure.
Find pleasure.
You don't need him, you don't need them. Find a confessor.
He'll treat you right, he'll teach you life is not a sweater that you can wear and tear. My care is much bigger. What's a person's worth if I'm not worth a birth to live for? Yeah.
I'm here, I'm living, loving you,
loving you.
Just breathe, be calm, hold on to truth. I'm here, I'm living, loving you,
loving you.
His will is strong enough to pull us through. I'm here, I'm living, loving you. His love has placed life within you.
Women's clinic, Ma, what are we doing here? We don't feel sick, we should get out of here. There's only one thing they specialize in, and that's death, and that's devising. I don't wanna be a part dividing me from you, and that's not surprising. Dry your eyes, Ma, stop your crying. There's a birth line upon the horizon. We can go to birth line and drive in. Women's clinic, Ma, that's death defying. Turn this car around, I'm testifying that God wants me to keep surviving. The only way I can keep from dying, it's up to you if you keep me alive. And God will help us through the hard times, and he could help us right now. Stop your crying.
I'm here, I'm living, loving you. Just breathe.